to make you look good.
The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Beyer, Beyer, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Edwards, Edwards, Farioli, Farioli, George, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Olson, Przanski, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Telfer, Thompson, Thompson, Berger, Witsit, Witsit, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. I'll ask Senator Chris Edwards to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Today's invocation is from David Dahl, the founder of Dave's Killer Bread, based in Milwaukee.
This is a great honor. 11 years ago, I was depressed, suicidal, and quite at the end of my rope. I was in prison for the fourth time, and I had 6 years left to go. Somehow that year, through a lot of suffering, I discovered the surprising strength of humility. Humility gave me the courage to ask for help. I got medication for my depression, and then a rare opportunity to go to trade school while still in prison. The result of all this was a confidence and inner strength that I didn't know I had in me. Years later, when I got out of prison, with my family's help, I put this to work creating what came to be known as Dave's Killer Bread. I told a much abbreviated version of my story on the back of each bread package. The ending of this story was making the world a better place, one loaf of bread at a time. It is a simple, heartfelt statement that has helped our company keep fighting the good fight through all the unexpected challenges of rapidly growing brand. We've proven that you can build a thriving business, even in a tough economy, by making an honest product and conducting business transparently and with integrity. I've told my story to thousands of inmates, at-risk youth, business and community leaders, and young entrepreneurs. We are involved with charities that fit our vision, and our company has 260 employees, one-third of which, like me, are ex-felons. It's kind of ironic that without ever setting out to win any awards, we've won quite a few, including the 2011 Oregon Ethics and Business Award. Gandhi said, "It is the action, not the fruit of the action, that is important. We have to do the right thing. It may not be in our power, and it may not be in our time, that there will be any fruit. But that doesn't mean we stop doing the right thing. We may never know what results come from our actions. But if we do nothing, there will be no result. Sometimes we are true to ourselves and we win. Sometimes we're true to ourselves and we lose. But win or lose, we've still done the right thing. Bless you all as you serve my beloved home state of Oregon. Thank you."
I want to thank Chris Edwards, Pledge of Allegiance flag, and I want to extend the courtesies of the Senate to David Dahl. I asked him to come here. He is a 20-year criminal career, convicted of 6 felons, assault, prison escape, delivery of a controlled substance, and armed robbery. Spent years in prison, and as you all know, the Killer's Bread is extraordinarily successful. His number one assistant is here, Lad. up on the balcony. I want to make sure I extend a courtesy salute to him. Ladd and him met in prison. Ladd himself spent 20 years. He's a hardcore con. And David Dahl's fiance, Michelle, I believe, is sitting back at Jenny Birdie's desk. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of what he's accomplished. I think he makes the state look good, and I think he honored us by being here today. Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to extend courtesies of the Senate to Michelle Bain, who you just mentioned, the fiance of Dave. And Michelle is part of Dave's success story. They met in a Safeway store that he really had no reason to be in, and where Michelle worked. She really had no reason to recognize him, but did. And the connection was made several years ago on that. And then just recently, on Valentine's Day, they decided to get married. So I'd like courtesies extended to Michelle.
Thank you. Yes. I'm sure in that Safeway there was killer bread, so although there was not. Well, that wasn't a very good statement. I was trying to be friendly. Okay, well, I'm glad you met him. I'm glad you're getting married, and happy Valentine's Day. Okay. It's an honor and privilege to have you here, Michelle. Well, you and I had the honor of meeting earlier, so it's really, I'm so pleased you're here. Recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please extend courtesies of the Senate to a wonderful group of people, Salah Ansari from Lutheran Community Services, Kevin Finey from Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, Midge Purcell of the Urban League, Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons from APANO, the Asian Pacific American Northwest Oregon, I can't quite remember what it stands for, apologies, Reverend, Doug Ellis from Catholic Charities. Thank you. Asian Pacific American Networking Organization. Thank you, Senator Dingfelder. Selchem Tuach from the IRCO, Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization, and Li Po Cha from the Coalition of Communities of Color. These are constituents of many of ours serving many, many constituents here today to advocate on behalf of refugees. They're right up there in the gallery. And refugees come to our country, as many of our relatives did, with hope and an eagerness to work, educate their children, and become productive citizens. They're here today in specific to talk about their concern about proposed cuts to the portion of TANF that serves these people and helps them become independent. Approximately 1,200 refugees come to Oregon every year. Many of those reach self-sufficiency within less than 2 years, with thanks to this program and the work that these agencies provide. And we are eager to support them in their efforts to support this community. As many of you do, I have a grandfather who came to this country as a refugee, escaping religious persecution in Europe, and was helped by a similar organization on the East Coast, and within a year was independent, established his own business, ran a very successful enterprise, and has a whole host of well-educated children and grandchildren. So please welcome these honored guests. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, welcome one and all. I'm glad you're here. You honor us. This is your state capital. I'm glad you're here advocating for those that everyday lives are a struggle, and so I appreciate it. I always look forward to your being here, and we're going to probably have a pretty interesting session, so you might decide to stay in the gallery throughout the extent of our deliberations today and come back and see us and see your capital anytime. So thank you very much.
Further courtesies, recognize Senator Shields.
Thank you, Madam President. In addition to welcoming Bobby Lee from the governor's office, I wanted to underline one of the people that Senator Steiner Hayward just referenced. Li Po Cha at IRCO was a colleague of mine in the first job that I ever had when I moved to Portland in 1996. I did job placement for an outfit that was then the Youth Employment Institute. I wasn't very good at it, and Li Po Cha took pity on me and helped me get a couple of job placements along the way. So I wanted to extend courtesies of the Senate to him and thank him for being here.
Li Po Cha, welcome to the Senate, and courtesies are extended. I recognize Senator Thompson. Recognize Senator Thompson.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Madam President. I was talking a little bit. Madam President, would you please extend courtesies to my two guests today, Alex Perini and Bryson Parker? They're from Clackamas High School. They're both sophomores there. Alex is the president of the Clackamas High Democratic Club there, and Bryson is the secretary. They will be in the building today observing floor and going to various committees, and they both, as you can tell, have deep interest in the political process. Alex hopes to go into communications and attend Whitman College in Walla Walla, and Bryson enjoys science and history and wants to be an active member in the political process someday. Thank you, Madam President.
Alex and Bryson, welcome to the Senate in a spirit of bipartisan cooperation, and courtesies are extended to you. Further courtesies. Remonstrances. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the co-speaker to inform you the House has passed House Bill 4041, 4016, 4063, 4108, 4110, 4128, and 4146. Mr. President, I'm directed by the co-speaker to inform you that they have signed Senate Concurrent Resolution 207.
Okay. Reports from committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summaries 25 and 26 were distributed to members February 16th, and 27 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the journal and status report, so ordered. Propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that consideration of HCR 203 be taken from its place on today's calendar and be placed on the Wednesday, February 22nd calendar.
Senator Rosenbaum has moved that consideration of HCR 203 be taken from its place on today's calendar and be placed on the Wednesday, February 22nd calendar. Senator Rosenbaum, to your motion.
Thank you, colleagues. We would like to accommodate a color guard unit that can be here on Wednesday next week. So by moving this, that will allow us to honor properly and have the color guard be part of the ceremony. Thank you.
Discussion. If not, Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close? She does not. The question is on taking HCR 203 from today's calendar and placing it on the Wednesday, February 22nd calendar. We will do this by voice vote. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion has carried. The clerk will read the committee report and the minority report. Senator Cruz, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Madam President. I request 5 minutes for Republican caucus back by the water cooler.
Senator Rosenbaum, do you have anything to request?
No, Democrats will stand at ease.
Okay, without objection, we will recess for 5 minutes. We'll be at ease for 5 minutes. Senate will come to order under the regular order of business, propositions, and motions. Recognize Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate Bill 1515, the committee report and minority report, be re-referred to the Senate Committee on Rules.
Senator Rosenbaum has moved that Senate Bill 1513, together with the committee report and minority report, be referred to the Senate Rules Committee. Is there any discussion? Senator Rosenbaum, to your motion.
Thank you, Madam President. This bill needs a little more time, and sending it to Rules will allow it to have that.
Discussion? If not, Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
The question now arises on the motion to move Senate Bill 1513 along with the committee report and minority report to the Senate Rules Committee. We can do this by voice vote. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion is adopted. The clerk will read the committee report. I want to recognize Bates. Recognize Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam President. Just to cool us off a bit here,
Do you have a request? For what purpose do you rise?
Can we return to remonstrances, please?
Senator Bates has requested a return to remonstrances without objection.
Thank you. Just received a note from Speakers Hannah and Roland inviting us to a Coke floats from 12:30 to 2:30 this afternoon in the Galleria, and there's a roving cart, $2 for the Cokes and floats. And the money goes to the food drive. Those of you who are diabetic want to think of this thing over a little bit. Those who are not diabetic, have a good time.
In accordance with SR 8.60 sub 2, the Senate will take action immediately on the third reading of, action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1561, relating to Oregon Military Department, prescribing effective date.
Recognize Senator Boquist.
Sorry about that, Madam President. 1561 comes from your Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs, came out 3-0 with one absent. It modifies the Homeland Security structure and aligns it with House Joint Resolution number 7 if the voters approve it. Just as a refresher and reminder on 1561 and House Joint Resolution 7. House Joint Resolution 7 is the continuation of the legislative process in the event of a catastrophic earthquake or other type of event. As part of that agreement and that going forward, there is a small realignment in the Homeland Security Council to make sure that there's legislative input during that interim period when we are not here. I know there's several other bills that are out there in relationship to earthquakes and so on and so forth, Cascadia Fault Line. Most of you probably do not know, but I believe 7:30 night before last, there was in fact a earthquake out on the Cascadia Fault Line at 6.0 earthquake. It was, I'm not the geologist, I know Senator Courtney talks to Degami more than I do, and he might know the impact of this, but for whatever reason, it was either too deep or too shallow, and it didn't create a tsunami. And it was here on the Oregon coast, I think it was 7:31 night before last. So what we have in House, in Senate Bill 1561 that's up here is simply a small realignment technical change to the Homeland Security Council. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. If not, Senator Boquist, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1561. Those are the opinion of the bill should pass. We'll answer aye if the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson. Olson. Przanski. Rosenbaum. Shields. Starr. Steiner Hayward. Telfer. Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt. Whitsitt? Winters? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Girard? Haas? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? President Courtney? Voting no, Johnson, 29 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1561, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1566, relating to seismic information about schools and prescribing an effective date.
Recognize Senator Courtney.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 566 comes to you from the Senate Education Committee. I believe it was a unanimous vote. I do not believe there's opposition to the bill. The Department of Education is involved. Agami is involved. And they are not opposed to the bill. The bill is very simple. Right now, your school districts, they report, they have a report card that comes out, I believe, every year that includes test scores, funding levels, and enrollment statistics. The information that comes to you in your school districts does not include any information regarding the structural condition of schools, but we are very familiar with that information. As I speak to you today, we know there are 1,300 schools, as I speak to you, that are in very, very risky situation regarding the tsunami, which has now been scientifically established, is preparing to hit our state one day. This tsunami, the last time it hit, was somewhere around 9 p.m. on January 26, 1700, and that may seem like, how did they even know what they were doing then? They had the scientists from across the world, including in Japan, where the tsunami hit because of this quake that hit Oregon. They know it's in the magnitude of the, somewhere in the neighborhood of 8.7 to 9.2, and so we will get hit by that. They're averaging in our state's history one of these every 244 years. The last time one of these hits was 312 years ago. So we do know it's on its way. All this bill does, and I won't get into, and I really wish my brother, Senator Gary George, could be here. Of course, he's not, because we found each other in 1999. And on this particular issue, the quake, the big quake, and he's a much different political person than me, we became very significant people in trying to at least make sure that our schools, as well as our fire stations and our police stations and our hospitals, could withstand the mighty power of this kind of quake, which will start off our coast and move inland. And it will be, but also easily, eventually, the wave itself, at least 30 to 50 feet, will eventually a magnitude reach Japan. That's the size of this thing. All this bill does, it says that if you want to know what the earthquake rating is now of your school, then you can go online, and Dagami, working with the Department of Education, will tell you. Now, I have to tell you, I'm not going to launch on this because we have $1 billion in bonding that could retrofit our schools, approved in 2002. The reason I'm upset is we've only retrofitted 22 of the 1,300 schools. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, and I'm actually picking up the documents, if I may permission, just to read from these documents. These
Without
are the official
objection.
Thank you. These are the official documents that my good staff draw online that actually shows the pictures of the schools involved, and you're going to be, some of my fellow senators are going to find it interesting. This is my district just three blocks down the road. There's a famous high school in the state of Oregon called North Salem High School, the original high school. Right now, its ranking is very high. There are four rankings, low, moderate, high, and very high. If it's very high, that means the school will completely collapse, very high. That means as I give this speech here today, if you're listening, if that quake hits, that school will collapse, and I'll let you decide and conclude what will happen to the young people there, their teachers, et cetera. That is in North Salem High School. This one is from Marshfield, the mighty Marshfield High School. Now, I love Marshfield High School, the home of the Pirates. It is in Coos Bay. It's a wonderful, old, famous high school, produced extraordinary individuals. Its ranking, as of this moment, which means there are students there, its ranking is very high.
Marshfield High School, if it we hit now, will completely collapse. It will collapse. That is what these studies that we have done for all the schools in the state that we know are going to get hit like that. So Marshfield is completely gone along with North Salem High School. The next school is Lincoln Elementary School in a place called Corvallis, Oregon. This is an elementary school, which at this very moment has students in it. It's ranking very high. It will completely collapse. And the young children there, you draw your own conclusions, because this happened in China as to the darkness and the damage and the savageness is about to be visited on their bodies. You think I'm being melodramatic? I'm not. This is all scientific evidence. Let's go to Hood River Middle School in a place called Hood River County. Very high, which means the Hood River Middle School, I believe that's sixth, seventh, and eighth, as we speak, will completely collapse right now on all those students. Completely collapse. Let's go to Junction City High School. Junction City High School in Junction City, very high. Junction City High School will completely collapse at this very moment, along with North, Marshfield, etc. How about Memorial Elementary School in a place called McMinnville, Oregon? Ranking very high. It will completely collapse. Now, I don't want to end on a downer, so I'm going to go to just high rankings. David Douglas High School. David Douglas High School. The reason David Douglas frightens me is it's only high, which means it's going to get hit bad, and it's got a chance of 1 out of 10 the whole place is coming in. The last time I saw the number of students at David Douglas High School, and this is their report card that comes out, 2,780 students were there. That is a mega high school. So even with some kind of significant damage, someone's going to get seriously in trouble. By the way, in case you're interested, I just thought I'd pick the state capital. We're lucky. We're only high, which means 1 out of 10 chance the whole thing's coming in on top of us as we're here now. If you think this is melodramatic, etc. So why is this just such a little bill? Because I can't get help any other way. I can't get this legislature. I can't get the GOMI department. I'm not going to go off on it. This money has been available since 2002. Some of you seen me in committees go nuts. We got to retrofit these schools. We've retrofitted some police and fire station. We know it's coming. At least this, if you got a child or you got a grandchild or you care about your districts, as a result of this little project, and I want to thank my staff here, Ryan Mann was this idea, you can go online and you can find to a school of the 1,300 what the ranking is. So I hope that you will consider a positive vote on this. Is it another way of trying to move this great state to more awareness and concern of what we're going to do for our children when we know what is coming, that significant earthquake? Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Verger.
Thank you, Madam President. You know, it is very difficult to get people excited about a disaster when they are very comfortable in your desk. We're all having a nice day. We're talking about Coke floats. And yet, let me tell you that this afternoon, it would not be at all unlikely that you could be notified that there was a major earthquake on the coast. The 6-point earthquake that hit just a few days ago was right off of Coos Bay. My email lit up because the people were telling me I could feel it in Charleston, I could feel it in this area and that area. I have schools in my district that not only are rated high, they are sitting in the tsunami zone. Now, President Courtney is talking about money that is there that needs to have something done. I can tell you, if that earthquake comes today or tomorrow, and it is coming sometime, and those schools are full of children, and those terrible disasters happen, people are going to look to every one of us as to why the state wasn't doing something, because those schools need to be retrofitted. I just was home last weekend and drove by City Hall and I see where they're doing their seismic work. 10 years ago, I was visited by two gentlemen who sat in my office, which had one wall of glass, and they were explaining to me that if anything happened, even a mild shake, that Coos Bay City Hall would probably fall down. And I said, well, all the police cars are underneath in the garage. What's going to happen to them? Well, you won't have any. There'll be no way to drive, but you're not going to be able to drive around anyway. And I said, well, tell me, since I may be seated at this desk, where would you suggest that I get? And they looked at the glass, and they looked at my desk, and they said, well, you could try under the desk, but I don't think it'll help. So I strongly support the bill, and I hope that you will too.
Recognize Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam President. Will the carrier yield to a question?
Will the carrier yield? He will.
Thank you. You referenced, Senator, the amount of bonding that was available, but some dismay with respect to the lack of prosecution to retrofit existing school buildings. What is the corpus left in that bonding capacity?
But I thank you. This is the best I can do. The voters on that November day authorized up $1 billion of funding. It's my understanding only 30 million of the billion has been spent.
Thank you. Thank you. And that was the point of my question. Colleagues, there's a definition of gross negligence. And when you have the means and the capacity and you do not execute, and we create this liability for potentially thousands of children in these public schools, that probably meets the definition of gross negligence. So I thank you, Mr. President, for bringing this to our attention, and it sounds like we need to build a little more momentum to address this critical problem. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really hadn't intended to speak to this bill, but Senator Courtney did mention this building, and we had a 5.9 earthquake in the mid-90s in Klamath Falls, just a little rattler. Our courthouse is a stone building with marble slabs and so forth. It didn't look like it got hurt very bad. And then engineers walked in there and they tiptoed out. All the stones were askew. Totally destroyed the building. Just didn't fall down. Probably one or two more good shakes, it would have fallen down. We also have a lot of older masonry buildings, as we find in a lot of coastal towns and towns all over the country, all over the state. Many of those buildings were condemned. They didn't fall down. The parapets fell off and so forth. The windows were broken. But when the engineers went inside, they were just fractured and broken. And I stand in support of this bill. I think it's we need to get the people to understand what a major earthquake on the coast would do. And I know my wife's a geologist, and she tells me about every third day of my life about what's going to happen if the 9 happens on the coast. So I'd urge a yes vote.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Courtney, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1566. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will enter aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Olson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Shields. Starr. Steiner Hayward. Telfer. Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Beyer. Boquist. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder. Edwards. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morse. Nelson. President Courtney. 30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1566, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill. Recognize Senator Atkinson.
Vote explanation, Madam President.
Please give your vote explanation.
Madam President, I support the last bill, and as we looked at it, it wasn't germane to the fact that it was focused on the schools, but in preparation or in response to what Senator Courtney said about this old building is about to fall. What is called the old building, which is the chamber you're in. If you look right up at the top, it was Herb Colm and I several years ago that were crawling around at the up above our ceiling. And this ceiling here is not going to last. It wasn't too long ago when an earthquake happened and the entire legislative assembly was held in room 50. Just of all of you to look at the maintenance of this old, beautiful Capitol building should know that the last earthquake, not nearly the size of which the carrier was talking about, occurred. The gold man on the top, the pioneer man, moved. He rotated. And he is being held in place today by a temporary Band-Aid in the most unflattering manner. But he is barely held up there from falling through the rotunda. We have significant seismic issues here with the Capitol that we will have to address at some point, and I thought this was an ample opportunity to put it once again back on the body's radar. As we've restored so many beautiful things around this building, the seismic part of the old Capitol building is in desperate need.
Further vote explanations. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 208, in memoriam Stephen Apotheker, 1952-2011.
Recognize Senator Hass.
Thank you, Madam President. My fellow Oregon senators, when you're a professional recycling scholar and you love the outdoors, there's really no better place to be than in Oregon. And so it was that Stephen Apotheker migrated to Oregon from Illinois, where he had already established himself as an innovator in recycling. He arrived here with a penchant for the outdoors and a passion for keeping things green back before that was hip. It was almost divine that he was chosen for the perfect job, coordinator of recycling, at the perfect agency, Metro, in the perfect place, Oregon. And it was there that he pushed to increase business recycling, to capture more construction debris, and to use everyday items over and over again. His ideas took root, and people and businesses began changing the way they looked at materials that were otherwise going to the landfill. They took another look at those materials and saw that they could save money by using them over again. It is never easy to get people to change their daily habits, but Steve did that in part because he never preached, he never made anyone think that he was right and they were wrong. I worked with him on the Bottle Bill Task Force 5 years ago and again in recent years on plastic bag pollution issues. And we didn't always agree. But the funny thing is with him is even when we didn't agree, I never felt like we were in disagreement. Steve had a full life outside of his job. He and his wife, Diane, canoed and hiked throughout the Northwest. And when they weren't doing that, they were dancing away the night in Portland dance halls. He died at age 58 after being diagnosed 6 years earlier with multiple systems atrophy. No one ever heard him complain about this disorder, which affected his speech and his movement, but not his work. His last day in the job was the day before he was admitted into intensive care. Knowing Steve, he would just assume we not do this fall the role here in the state Senate, but it's hard, Steve, to ignore what you have done in the name of recycling and in the unassuming way that you did it. During his time in Oregon, recycling rates have doubled, and our state is still the leading voice for reducing, reusing, and recycling. To me, it is interesting that we here in the Capitol choose to honor people like Gail Ackerman last week and now Steve Apotheker, who are so passionate about living and enjoying Oregon's outdoors while also professionally dedicated to protecting it. Like Gail, Steve was neither rich nor famous. He was neither titled nor privileged. But he was the kind of leader we cherish in Oregon, who cheerfully walked the talk and put the common good of Oregon ahead of himself.
Discussion. If not, Senator Hass, do you wish to close? Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution 208. Those with opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Prozanski. Rosenbaum. Shields. Starr. Steiner Hayward. Telfer. Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Edwards. Ferrioli. George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Monis Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 aye votes.
SCR 208, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1508, relating to beverage containers and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Prozanski.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, Senate Bill 1508A came out of your Environment and Natural Resources Committee, came out on a 3-2 vote. Colleagues, what this bill is going to do, it's going to take us to the next step in expanding Oregon's renowned beverage container program. It is a program that has no cost to the state directly. The program is funded through itself, and the program of the bill will also establish through this process and this legislation the beverage container return data, which is going to be very important so we can actually see how we are actually performing as a state with the collection of the beverage container bottles and other items. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Question to the carrier, please. Question to the carrier, please.
Will the carrier yield?
He will.
Yes. Thank you, Senator. During the course of the hearing, and I see in the summary notes that there was some discussion on the antitrust issue. Could you discuss what happened during committee, how the what the discussion was?
I can. Thank you for the question. Actually, what we had is a number of documents that were given to us. As you can imagine, in any type of situation, you have dueling opinions, legal opinions that have come out from different attorneys that have looked at this issue. I have also spent some time with legislative counsel, and what I can tell you is that we have been assured that on the face of the bill itself, there is no antitrust issues. Clearly, as you know, as an attorney from your own training, this is a very technical area of the law. It takes really certified, smart people to actually, let's say, practice in that area. Maybe that's one of the reasons I don't practice in that area. But what I can tell you is that we won't know exactly what is or isn't going to be determined as antitrust until there's actually a case filed and you have fact-specific items that are going to be brought before a court or tribunal to make those determinations.
Thank you. Another question?
Will the carrier yield?
He will.
Is this bill similar to the bill that was vetoed by then Governor Kulongoski, was it in 2009?
I do not know.
To the bill.
To the bill.
My understanding is that bill is similar. The bill that Governor Kulongoski vetoed is similar to this bill, almost in exact words. And I'm opposing the bill, just because I have a lot of distributors out there that are going to be affected by it. They're going to be required to join this co-op, or else, if maybe they're not required, then there's a certain circumstances. But it's the legislature coming in and forcing a business decision upon an industry. I thought we had one of our finest moments last Tuesday on the transformation bill. We had a wonderful discussion. It was all determined upon an issue of constitutionality. You know, some of us voted no, some of us voted yes. We came to the decision that we should pass this bill because there was a constitutional issue that concerned some of the people, rightly so. And I applaud that vote. I think it was a wonderful vote, a wonderful discussion. But right now, we're going to go in exactly the opposite direction. There is a potential for a constitutional issue in this. So why are we passing a bill that has a potential constitutional question? I'm reminded of a book by arts and drama and all that sort of thing. Tennessee Williams has a play out, it was made into a movie, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And I sometimes liken this legislature to the characters or the institutions in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. It was about Southern society and about the things that they would do as a society. And sometimes there weren't any consistencies in it. And one of the key lines in that whole bill is spoken by Brick, who was played by Paul Newman. He was the alcoholic son. He says he was concerned about the mendacity and so of this whole Southern society. So then Big Daddy Pullet, who is played by Burl Ives, gets up and says, mendacity, I've lived with mendacity for 40 years, so you got to do it. But when I'm looking at this thing, what is our consistency? You know, what is the mendacity of our consistency in this building? For one thing, it's a constitutional issue. It's a crucial, important thing. Another, it isn't. We've had a governor who actually vetoed a bill similar to this. So from my viewpoint, this should be a no vote, and we should maintain the high standards that this body has brought forth. And I applaud us for our vote on Tuesday. And I'm not quite so sure I'm going to applaud for the vote today. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Girard.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm actually going to take a little different approach. I grew up in a grocery store. My father was owned two grocery stores, and he always wanted his son to do the top job, so my job was sorting bottles. And let me say that I, to this day, hate bottles. My father did not receive any reimbursement whatsoever for the sorting of the bottles, the storage of the bottles, or the labor that went into those bottles. This bill is a little bit of an equalization bill that will be beneficial to grocers. I think it is long overdue that we try to equalize the playing field, and I think it's a good aye vote, and I'll be voting aye.
Recognize Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. It's rather interesting when you talk about a cooperative and you look at the definition of a cooperative. Relating to a business or organization that is owned and operated by the people who work there or the people who use its services. Involving two or more people or groups working together to do something. We've got a group of people that, frankly, are not even in my district. They're not my constituents. But when they came in and they said, we've got a bill that started in 2010 in the short session, was passed, went to the governor, was vetoed. We thought we would bring it back in 2011, and it didn't come out. And here we see it again. And they say to me, Senator, if this bill passes, it'll cost us significant money. So one would look at this bill and say, is that a cooperative? Are they willing to cooperate, to work together? One of the things that I brought up in committee was the fact that the cooperative, if you will, and if I may use printed material, Madam President?
Without objection.
The cooperative reserves the right to conduct random audits at its expense of the deposit containers paid for at stores against the number of deposit containers arriving at the processing facility and against the number of containers sold for scrap. The reason they do that is to discourage fraud. My question in committee was, does the OLCC have authority to audit the cooperative? And the answer is no. So the cooperative can delve into the process and the books of those that belong, but they will not let the state have supervisory position to those that, for us, we the legislator. Also in this bill, it says that
A dealer that uses the distributor cooperative to redeem and process beverage containers sold in the state is not required to return beverage containers to a distributor or importer that does not participate in the distributor cooperative. So basically, it looks like what we want to do is take away their product and give that salvage to someone else. Now, in listening to the discussion in many committees that we had, or many meetings that we had, Senator Thompson and I sat down with both groups to try to work a deal out on this, and it didn't come to fruition. But when you listen to the topic and listen to the discussion, most of the major retailers in Eastern Oregon are picked up by the cooperative. It's the small mom-and-pop stores that aren't. But yet, not a single small mom-and-pop store came to us and said, hey, we're really not satisfied with this situation, and we think these folks should join the cooperative. So the point being is, we've got folks that don't want to cooperate, but yet we're going to pass a bill that will make them and force them to cooperate. Thank you, Madam President.
Recognize Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President. To the bill?
To the bill.
Yeah, myself, like Senator Olson, we worked with these two groups to try to get them together to see if we could get some compromise and if they would be inclined to join the co-op. I know last year Mayor Willis from the good senator from, or good Senator Johnson, was not in the co-op at that time, and I talked to him, and he has since joined. I know over the years, I think this issue's come up quite often, and a lot of the distributors have joined since then. So I really don't think even this group, I saw some movement. That's about all I can say to that. I think they got a little more trust, I hope, in the two groups, and I think over time, maybe another year or two, maybe, if they get involved and work a little closer, I think they will join, hopefully, without being forced to join. What I said in committee that I thought, I mean, the reason I'm a no vote is because we have a pear cooperative fruit packing company in Hood River. It's a cooperative. And I could be in that group, and I could have them pack my fruit, or I don't have to be. I'm not forced to do that. The growers that are in that cooperative choose to be in it because they want to be in, but they don't have to be. So I guess the constitutionality thing, if OBRC is a co-op, they can't really force anybody to be in there. And if they don't want to be a co-op and want us to force them to be in there, then let's change their name and not call them a co-op. So I'll be a no vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Przanski, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, there's a couple of things I'd like to just cover. Specifically, what we've heard is regarding on this bill is that you actually are going to have some type of constitutional issues. I mean, let's face it, folks, any time that we consider any bill, or we pass any bill, there's potential a constitutional challenge. What we do know and what I've heard and what I've alluded to in the opening is that this is going to be determined on a case-by-case basis. It will be determined based on the facts specific to the actual issue that they may raise, if anyone is going to try to raise an antitrust issue. But at this point, I would say that it's not worth us not moving forward on this bill, because the bill itself does, in fact, expand into our next steps of Oregon's now renowned beverage container program, and it's a logical step to move forward so we can, in fact, move, get more information. That information, as I mentioned before, it does, in fact, establish the beverage container return data, which is very important so we can, as a state, be able to continue to promote and facilitate greater use of these resources through recycling. One other statement that's worth clarifying from the good senator out of Hood River made some comment that somehow individuals are going to be forced to join the co-op. That is not the case. Anyone is free to enter or not enter the co-op. And in fact, if someone wants to set up and establish a separate, different co-op, they can also do that. With that said, Madam President, I encourage all of us to move forward with Oregon and its expanded Oregon beverage container program by passing Senate Bill 1508. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Hasbro. Purpose, do you rise?
Just to declare a potential conflict.
Please enter your potential conflict.
My employer has done business with the OBRC.
Your potential conflict will be noted in the record. Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1508. Those with the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Aye. Shields. Aye. Starr.
Aye.
Steiner Hayward.
Aye.
Telfer.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Whitsitt.
No.
Winters.
No.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates.
Aye.
Beyer.
Aye.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick.
Aye.
Devlin. Dingfelder.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
No.
George.
No.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
No.
Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morse.
No.
Nelson.
No.
Olson.
No.
Przanski.
Aye.
President Courtney. Voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Telfer, Thompson, Whitsitt, Winters, 19 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1508, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1528, relating to liquor enforcement inspectors and declaring an emergency.
Recognize Senator Przanski.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, Senate Bill 1528 came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. This is going to require OLCC inspectors and investigators enforcing laws that relate to liquor to obtain a DPSST certification as a liquor enforcement inspector. This is a bill that's going to clarify where we have seen in around the state some places as to what is the authority that these inspector agents actually have. This will make sure that everyone understands exactly what their authority is. Also, there's training. It will be to the standard that we would expect and want through DPSST, and it is one that will actually, I think, put us in the best position that we can as we enforce liquor laws and rules within the state. Thank you.
Discussion. If not, Senator Przanski, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1528. Those are the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Shields. Starr. Steiner Hayward. Telfer. Thompson. Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder. Edwards. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morse. Nelson. Olson. Przanski. Rosenbaum. President Courtney. 30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1528, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1533, relating to green energy technology in public buildings.
Recognize Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 1533 comes to you from the Senate Committee on Business, Transportation, and Economic Development on a 6-0 vote with a due pass recommendation. ORS 279.527 and 528 require that all public building construction and reconstruction projects with a total contract price of at least $1 million include solar technologies that comprise a minimum of 1.5% of the total cost of the project. That requirement extends to all remodeling projects that increase the value by more than 50%. This sometimes is just simply inappropriate and may even be counterproductive. For instance, the Lake County Hospital put a $17 million expansion on in 2010-2011. They piped in geothermal energy from a couple of miles away. Their entire HVAC system is run on geothermal energy. And yet, the Lake County Hospital was required to spend more than $250,000 on solar energy because of the restrictions of this law. This is not an isolated situation. 5 of the 7 geothermal resource centers in Oregon are located in Klamath, Lake, and Deschutes counties. Senate Bill 1533 is a simple bill that allows either solar or geothermal energy resources to be used to satisfy the 1.5% requirement of the current law. I urge an aye vote, Mrs. President. Thank you.
Discussion. If not, Senator Whitsitt, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1533. Those who have the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. Call the roll.
Starr. Steiner Hayward. Telfer. Thompson. Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Boquist, aye. Burdick, aye. Devlin, aye. Dingfelder, Edwards, aye. Ferrioli, aye. George, aye. Gerard, Haas, aye. Johnson, aye. Cruz, aye. Montes Anderson, aye. Monroe, aye. Morse, aye. Nelson, aye. Olson, aye. Brzezinski, aye. Rosenbaum, aye. Rosenbaum, Shields, President Courtney, 30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1533, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1556, relating to contract preferences for federally funded transit projects and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I rise today to support Senate Bill 1556. This is a jobs bill, pure and simple. If passed, it has the potential of creating hundreds of manufacturing jobs right here in Oregon. The bill has a very narrow focus. It relates only to transit agencies and their purchase of rolling stock. Streetcars, trolleys, buses, and cars are common examples. And by permitting, allowing, not mandating, transit agencies to give preference to manufacturers who exceed federal Buy America requirements, we can enable Oregon transit agencies to invest in American jobs. This bill is a common sense change that will help to grow American companies and American jobs. Because of federal rules, if an agency wishes to give a preference to a bidder whose vehicle has more U.S.-made content than the 60% currently required by federal standards, the agency needs to be authorized to do so in state statute to ensure eligibility for federal funds. Senate Bill 1556 is a permissive bill and does not impose a new mandate on local transit agencies. On the contrary, Senate Bill 1556 gives Oregon's communities greater control over how their public resources are spent and provide transit agencies with the opportunity to contribute further toward the creation and ongoing sustainability of good, well-paying jobs in Oregon and nationwide. Senate Bill 1556 will help grow jobs with Oregon employers like Clackamas-based United Streetcar, the only modern streetcar company located in the United States and the first in the country to manufacture a Buy America compliant streetcar. The growth of companies like United Streetcar can have ripple effects throughout Oregon's economy, benefiting local manufacturers and creating jobs down the supply chain. Mills Innovations, a small employer in Junction City, is one example. CEO Dan Mills let me know that their work with United Streetcar is revitalizing their previously struggling business. By enabling greater latitude for contracting, Senate Bill 1556 helps encourage growth in domestic manufacturing. Oregon's communities deserve the opportunity to invest more of their public transit funds in American jobs. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. If not, Senator Montes Anderson, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1556. Those are the opinion the bill should pass. Will answer aye if your name is called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt? Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder?
Aye.
Edwards? Ferrioli?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Gerard?
Aye.
Haas?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Cruz?
Aye.
Montes Anderson?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Morse?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Prozanski?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields?
Aye.
Starr? Starr? President Courtney?
Yes.
Not answering. Starr? Excused. Starr? 29 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1556, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1558, relating to economic development revenue bonds, declare emergency.
Recognize Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 1558 is another tool in the toolbox of economic development. And I know everybody's hungry and wants this to be quick, but I can't make it too quick because it's a somewhat complicated issue. What is an industrial revenue bond? An industrial revenue bond is private money. It's not state money. It doesn't change the state's bonding capacity. It doesn't put the state in any financial liability situation. Why are they liked? Companies like to sell them. Bondholders like to buy them because another set of eyes have looked at the feasibility of these projects in Oregon. It would be the Oregon, a Business Oregon, very in-depth, lots of parameters around and sideboards around their review process and analysis to approve whether these companies can issue these bonds or not. What this bill does, right now, an industrial revenue bond, the proceeds in the state of Oregon can only be used to buy a building or buy assets, capital assets. Not a lot of jobs created with that. What we're trying to do is be a little bit more competitive with a handful of other states in the nation and expand the scope of the use of those proceeds to include research and development and working capital for the acquisition and on those assets that are purchased. It's actually a good bill. It's a tool in the toolbox of economic development. Every little tool we can get in that box should help Oregon. Good bill, should pass. Thanks.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Edwards.
Thank you, Madam President. I will, to the bill.
To the bill.
I will be supporting the bill. I had some concerns initially about potential uses of this program. I'll be supporting the bill with the assurances that the that Business Oregon will use both their current vetting process and more rules that will be promulgated to ensure that the state of Oregon's good name would not be tarnished by using the Industrial Revenue Bond program to fund, say, you know, blue sky research that is not coupled with a good solid business plan for commercializing and making money with that research. I simply want it on the record that I expect that Business Oregon will be very appropriate and thoroughly vet and very vigorously vet any companies that they may wish to assist in taking advantage of this program. Thank you, Madam President.
Recognize Senator Boquist.
Conflict of interest, Madam
Please
President.
Please state your conflict.
In the abundance of caution, not involved in any economic revenue bonds, but I do have a company that's involved with Business Oregon and some of its programs. Thank you.
Your conflict will be noted in the record. Further discussion? If not, Senator Telfer, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1558. Those are the opinion the bill should pass. Will answer aye. Your names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder, Edwards, Perioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Prozanski, Prozanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, President Courtney, 30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1558, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1559, Amendment 1, Emergency Communication and Prescribing Effective Date.
Recognize Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that SB 1559 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and be referred to the Rules Committee.
Senator Boquist has moved that Senate Bill 1559 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and be referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Boquist, to your motion.
Thank you, Madam President. There's some misunderstandings of the intent on this bill, and there are several technical fixes that need to be done to it before we determine what its fate is, and the best place to do that is in rules because the rest of us are shutting down.
Discussion? If not, Senator Boquist, do you wish to close?
No, Madam President.
He does not. The question is on taking Senate Bill 1559 from today's calendar and referring it to the Rules Committee. We'll do this by voice vote. Those in favor will answer aye as the names are called. Not their names are called. Those in favor will answer aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion has carried. Third reading, let's see, hold on. Read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1563, relating to members of uniformed services and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, 1563A comes from the Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs, and it's relating to uniformed services. You see that there's three carriers, or at least three people going to speak to this. I should explain, as a committee bill, we had a broad relating clause we used for uniformed services and veterans, and another one relating to the military department. So there are three parts to this bill that's here on the floor. I'll just briefly explain the three parts, and then I know there's several other individuals that are going to talk about some components in it. The three basic parts of, I guess you could say, this housekeeping bill, the first one changes or adds NOAA personnel that served in NOAA to the definition of veterans. This brings us in line with the federal government. The second portion adds United States Public Health Service people who served in the uniformed service, which again brings us in line with veterans definitions in the federal government. The third part of this bill requires community colleges to provide tuition waiver to dependents of deceased veterans and of dependents of 100% disabled deceased veterans in there. This comes out of a previous bill in a previous session, and so with that, I will be closing, but I'll let the two other distinguished members talk about their portions of this bill. Thank you.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Verger.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleague, I rise in support of Senate Bill 1563, which will add the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to the list of military branches recognized in Oregon law. NOAA is the federal agency responsible for daily weather forecast, severe storm warnings, fisheries management, coastal restoration, marine science, and supporting marine commerce. In 2009, the Port of Newport was chosen as the home port for NOAA's Pacific Fleet. Hard work by the governor, the legislature, and Oregon's congressional delegation allowed the new facility to open last summer on time and under budget. NOAA's presence has brought 175 jobs, six ships, and an estimated $19 million annually to Newport. The ship operators are NOAA Corps members, one of the seven uniformed services for the United States. Senate Bill 1563 will add NOAA to the uniformed services, permitting members and their families to receive the benefits of other uniformed members. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Recognize Senator Haas.
Thank you, Madam President. One section of this bill requires community colleges to waive tuition for widows and orphans of fallen GIs, Some of you will recall we passed a bill 3 years ago requiring universities to do this for this very, very small universe of people, and it has worked well. But what we found is that for some of those people, a community college would be a more appropriate place to start an education. So we've asked that community colleges waive tuition for widows and orphans of soldiers who have lost their lives. In some ways, I think this is a very fitting gesture and a way of saying thank you. We know your heart is broken, and we can never mend your heart, but the least we can do is offer you a free education courtesy the state of Oregon.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Boquist, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Madam President. Just very briefly, I just want to call out on the fiscal statement and bring to light that on the fiscal statement, it does identify that we have lost 132 of our veterans in harm's way that would be covered with this, i.e. their dependents would be covered with this. In the abundance of caution, LFO and the people down there identified that this could impact the wives of all 132 and two children of each of those 132. And as you well know, not many 18 and 19-year-olds have a wife and two children. So the fiscal is, though it's under the threshold, is not as large as some would believe. Deserves an aye vote. Thank you.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1563. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Haas? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? President Courtney? Not answering, Dingfelder? 30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1563, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 1588, relating to exclusion from definition for employment of certain services performed certain owner-operated managed entities and prescribing effective date.
Recognize Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 1588 is a simple little clarification bill. It clarifies that taxi cabs that are owned by the operator and in a co-op-like situation do not fall under the unemployment insurance program.
Okay. Discussion? If not, Senator Beyer, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1588. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Berger. Whitsitt. Winters, aye. Atkinson, Bates, aye. Beyer, Boquist, aye. Burdick, aye. Devlin, aye. Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, aye. George, aye. Gerard, Haas, Johnson, aye. Cruz, Montes Anderson, aye. Monroe, aye. Morse, aye. Nelson, aye. Olson, aye. Brzezinski, aye. Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr,
Cruz is a yes.
Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, President Courtney, 30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1588, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 4016, relating to harm to a child. House Bill 4041, relating to taxation of Indian tribe property, prescribing effective date. House Bill 4063, relating to professional licensure of applicants with military training and experience, declaring emergency. House Bill 4108, relating to precious materials, secondhand dealing. House Bill 4110, relating to investment in companies doing business in Iran, declaring emergency. House Bill 4128, relating to treatment for craniofacial anomalies. House Bill 4146, relating to expungement and declaring emergency.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 4068, relating to food banks, declared emergency.
Passed calendar. Third reading of House measures. Without objection, the remaining House measures will be carried over to the Monday, February 20th calendar. Other business of the Senate. In accordance with SR 8.40 sub 3, committee referral list number 15 was distributed to the members February 16th, and number 16 was distributed today. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and status report so ordered. Announcements. Recognize Senator Rosenbaum.
Madam President, colleagues, you've heard that hope floats, and I am rising to talk about Coke floats. I've been asked by the co-speakers, Hannah and Roblin, to remind you that today from 12:30 to 2:30, you can benefit the food drive and get a delicious Coke float for a price of $2 down in the Galleria. 12:30 to 2:30, things will go better with Coke. Okay, thank you.
Further announcements. Recognize Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam President. It's Friday, and everyone should have a job on Friday. We have no caucus scheduled for today. Thank you, Madam President.
Further announcements. If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:30 a.m. Monday, February 20th.